to relax and allow. And I think that's really a profound thing, because I just got like this little epiphany about that, Bob and Dave, in that that relax and allow thing is relaxing the anxiety and allowing the goodness to come to you. And you can have that even in the midst of a storm, you know. And
it's
I think
true. Evan, let me yeah. explain this, translate what you just said. Now, I'm going to take, this is academic talk, and this is how they're trying to describe tactility.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some sample academic quotes, philosophical quotes, about the strange situation we're in where there's nobody outside of yourself, and you have your own self, and yet everybody else is impressing in on you. Okay, here's the quote. The self-relation, see, that's self-relation, the self-relation that characterizes sensibility is accomplished only as self-difference. And exteriority in the form of a divergence between touching and touched hands. Between touching hands and touched hands. In truth, neither of the two hands is strictly speaking, sensing, or sensed. I read that again. In truth, neither of the two hands is, strictly speaking, sensing or sensed. Nowhere can one isolate a moment of pure consciousness or a moment of pure passivity. One must instead speak of an axis of equivalence, the possibility of changing roles, which is dismembered by what it joins together. Corporeity, or fleshliness, we could say, corporeity corresponds to the moment of difference. Consciousness corresponds to the moment of reversibility, which is only the other side of the preceding moment. What do you think of that, Evan?
What the heck?
this is what the young kids have to know when they try to get their feet.
One at a time. One at a time. I'm sorry. Okay, Bob. Bob, go again.
This is what the young kids have to do when they want to get their PhD in humanities.
Oh, my God.
So, Dave, did you have a comment, Dave?
Yeah. Dave?
No, I was sort of following, and then I blanked out in the last few sentences. I was just trying to follow his words, and as they leak into each other, and yes. Can I hear those last four again?
Hold it. Okay, read it. Read it one more time, Bob.
The self-relation that characterizes sensibility is accomplished only as self-difference.
But different to what, in relation to other people?
Yes.
Or in some other environments outside of the self?
No, within yourself, because it's about self-relation.
Okay.
Self-relation is only accomplished as self-difference.
That sounds really naughty.
Yeah, and exteriority, so you think it's exterior, and exteriority in the form of a divergence between touching and touched hands. They're trying to describe the feeling of touch. Who's touching what when you put two hands together? In truth, neither of the two hands is, strictly speaking, sensing or sensed. You can't tell what's sensing and what's being sensed. Mm. Nowhere can one isolate a moment of pure consciousness, or sensing, or a moment of pure passivity. That would be being sensed. One must instead speak of an axis of equivalence, the possibility of changing roles, which is dismembered by what it joins together. That's a tough one, which is dismembered by what it joins together. So the very thing that looks to be joined together is at the same time dismembering. So then corporeity, or fleshliness, corresponds to the moment of difference, whereas consciousness corresponds to the moment of reversibility, which is only the other side of the preceding moment. Now, here's the follow-up sentence. This relationship can be generalized, as we have seen, to the other senses. Every sensation, vision, or touch is in accordance with every other through this possibility of reversion. Such is the sense of the flesh, a unity that is realized only as possibility of passage, without principle between singular sensibilities. Now, to the degree that this carnal unity merges with the articulation of its difference, it cannot be understood as a closed unity. It also differs from itself.
Wow.
Well, that sounds like a conundrum.
Yes, verbally it is. They're trying to verbalize tactility, which is an interplay of nonverbal interaction, of kind of ESP.
Touching and dismemberment at the same time. So something that, for one, is reaching, something that is reaching to feel is also giving up of itself.
Yeah, to be known.
That's very interesting. Okay, we have a call. Well, yes, go ahead, Bob.
No, we have a call. It's important.
Okay, all right, one second. Here we go. He's going to be on your line, Dave, so one second.
Okay.
Hi, caller one. Welcome.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of tripping out because one of your guests is named Bob Dobbs, and that's actually the name I normally use when I donate to KPFK. So, that kind of tripped me out. I bought the Alan Watts CD collection from the evening show under the name Bob Dobbs, and my slogan was "Slack off." And I don't know, is that the same Bob Dobbs that is on the phone right now from the Church of the Subgenius, or is that a different Bob Dobbs?
Oh my God!
It's the one who inspired the church. I inspired the Church of Subgenius.
Wow, this is an amazing moment for me because it was just sort of like a tongue-in-cheek prank that.
Yeah,
I don't even know why I was using the name Bob Dobbs. It just kind of came to me, and here you are on the phone. It's fucking, oh, I'm sorry. It's
bleep.
Pretty wild, man.
Do you see, Evan? This is a good example of self-relation is self-different.
Yes, absolutely. You're picking up that
metaphor, right? This is a metaphor for me trying to tactilely discover myself.
And you know, every day I get Facebook requests from Bob Dobbses all over the universe asking to be my friend. If you go on there, if you go on my Facebook and look at my friends, about 500 of them are Bob Dobbs.
So bad.
That like Agent Smith in the Matrix, just proliferating all over the place.
That is really incredible. And so do you have a pipe and everything?
Yeah, you know, I've got a couple of tobacco pipes, and I don't look anything like Stephen Colbert at all. But I've taken lots of psychedelics, and so I've got those credentials built up. And, yeah.
Well, that, you know what? Look, and you just happen to be listening late tonight, right now, and boom, that's pretty brilliant, man. That's great.
That is, yeah. So this word that you guys are using, reversibility, what can you define what that means? I don't quite understand what that's all about.
It's changing roles. It's you first. You work. You're a pitcher, and then you become the catcher. If you're a Democrat, you become a Republican. If you're an actor, you become a director. So it's reversibility, flipping into oppositeness, sort of thing, or very different.
Like a.
So it's reversing a binary scale, a 0 or a 1.
Yes. I like the phrase both and. The reversibility is not just one thing flipping back to the other side, like a yin-yang. It becomes a third factor, an and, A-N-D. It's extra. So it pushes it forward.
Mm-hmm. I don't
quite understand that. How does that work?
Well, I just read you some quotes from guys working on it through most of the 20th century, and they're not making much progress because it gets more complex as you try to explain it. But a good example of that is that I inspire the Church of Genius, and I do this every time I come on Eben. I make up a topic. I made up this guy named Dave Neufeld, and I had him come on and be Dave Neufeld, and the interaction evoked this quote that then evoked you. This is instant magic. That's tactile.
That's deep. I know Bob does it so effortlessly.
I'm going to be able to sleep after that.
Dave has witnessed this for decades. I first did it with Dave at CKLN in the mid-'80s. Dave was there when we were talking to Dave Worster, who's been a guest on Evan's show, about how Bob and Dave caused earthquakes, how Bob and Dave Worster caused earthquakes when they talk. And while this was being broadcast, there was a rare earthquake in Toronto. And Dave Neufeld had to tell the public about this awesome event.
Well, caller,
you know,
darling.
I think there was this popular band called Wang Chung.
Wang Chung.
Yeah, and they had this this lyric in one of their biggest hits that says, "The words we use are strong, they make reality." And I actually loop that over and over, and I'll listen to that. And it's a profound lyric.
Again. What's the first part?
The words we use are strong, they make reality. It's Everybody Wang Chung tonight. But I never noticed that lyric for years, and all of a sudden I'm listening to the radio, and I'm like, what the hell is that? That's like a deep meme right there.
The words we use are strong. They make reality. Cool.
Well, funny you mentioned that tune. I just noticed they now use it for a Swiffer or floor cleaner. It's a whole campaign or, I don't know, some huge conglomerate. And then they even go, everyone Wang Chung tonight. Like, it's weird. Yeah, so the words, they do make their market and their reality.
And caller, I would say that's an example of verbality, or words do not form reality. You can take that kind of wisdom, which was once true, and if it can be part of the deepest commercial web of commerce, and the actual thing is not verbal. These quotes I'm reading you are hard to follow because they're trying to describe a non-verbal mental gesture. We're engaged in mental gesturing right now.
Mental gesturing. So you're saying mental gesturing is beyond language?
Yes. It's beneath language. Not beyond, it's beneath.
Beneath language. Interesting.
It holds it up. It supports language.
That's what you tap into when you take psychedelics. You tap into the experience beneath language.
Would you say that that's senior to language, or is there no hierarchy?
There's a hierarchy when there is a print-based society. But if there is no print-based society, then there is no hierarchy. So it depends on the conditions that the society begins with.
Well, then, if it is a print-based society, then it would mean that the thought would, you know, in the oral-based society, the thought and then the speech comes. So isn't there a hierarchy? There's always a thought that precedes?
There's a hierarchy to... In our society, but it is being undermined by the Android memes extension of tactility, which is what I've began talking about, where the tactility is not being communicated to you, but among the machinic parts.
Okay.
But the reason you can relax is none of this communication in the communication matrix of the world is going to you. None of it is being addressed to you. It's being addressed to other machines.
Yeah. And
not to your chemical body.
Well, gosh, aren't we acting like these machines now? They're so close to us that, you know, everybody is so tuned into these devices I don't see the division doesn't seem to be, if it's an extension of us, are the machine.
Yes,
the picture captures.
Hey, Neufeld, do you have something to say?
I think it makes us invisible as we try and use it to be visible.
Yes.
That's good.
It's very seductive. It's going to make itself as invisible and as human-like to seduce that you think you're in control. It wants you. And the way you get out of that is, well, I'm not interested in controlling anything. So I don't care if you think you're in control of me. It doesn't matter. Nothing can control me because I'm not interested in having control.
That's interesting. Hey, caller.
And you do that without giving up your ego. You don't lose your ego or go into a miasma of mush because you think that's what non-control is. You actually become tougher. You become like Clint Eastwood. Make my day.
Yeah.
Well, I think, when you look at the meritless fame that's out there now, like through reality television and how many people are famous for no good reason, I think that really deflates what the ego is. And I think everybody has a huge ego because it's not based on anything anymore. They don't have to achieve anything.
Right. To be famous for no good reason is really appropriate. This is the reason why Madonna has too much of a reason. That's why she's not selling. You got to have an extreme lack of reason that the young people respond to. That's what they like, because that's anarchistic.
Well, that like props up then that's just erasing all the older cultures that have achieved something, and all of a sudden those guys are like, yeah, whatever, grandma, yeah, I know what you did years ago, but you know, look how
get
I can
it. Get over it. We ain't even remembering you.
Watch me crash on my skateboard. I'm gonna get thousands of hits.
That's it. We got to get over even remembering any culture. And I know that's blasphemy on KPFK and the network, but forget it. Amnesia is the greatest effect of the Android meme today. Here it is gathering all this information on us, and we can just say, well, screw that. I'm not bothering to remember any of it because you're remembering it, and I don't care about you.
Yeah, precisely.
Yep.
Hey, caller, I really appreciate you being up late. Bob 24,000. You know?
Bob Bennett.
Hey, thank you.
It was good to meet you in the Android flesh. Thank you.
Yes.
Right.
You too. That's it. We'll talk again.
Okay.
See you next.
All right, thank you.
Well, the number, again.
The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Hey, you guys, should I play this little excerpt, Bob?
What you got?
What?
Yeah, well, you know, the tuning the world through music. Here we go.
Okay.
Orpheus once controlled the natural forces of the world, tuning the world, until technology came and broke up that unity, threw him out. He was, Orpheus was banished by technology. In the Ovidian account of Orpheus, he is explicitly related to the new technology of plowing and so on, which banished him. With the coming of a Neolithic man, technological man, Orpheus, the Paleolithic, old Stone Age man, was finished. But he was banished, rather. But the idea that there was a period when music had the power to not only soothe the savage breast, but to control the elements, the environment, was a normal human intuition for countless eons. But Orpheus, we're now talking somewhat, talking more or less on the assumptions of Orpheus. And Murray Schafer has issued a manifesto to call for another Orpheus to tune the world. And it's a fascinating book. But in the electronic age, it is no longer a mythic dream. The possibility of tuning or programming the entire universe is back. It is here. We can do it. And physically it's possible. But it doesn't mean it's practical or going to be done.
Would it be done by one supreme artist?
You might ask the same thing about any studio engineer. Is there more than one engineer in the studio or not?
If we're tuning the world, surely the attunement means layers or levels or hierarchies of attunements, each of which in some form of concord with every other. Is there an apex to this?
You'd have to get together the weatherman and the astronomers, the astrologers, the horoscope boys. They'd all have to get together. They're all engineers.
And that was the clip.
Awesome clip that totally resonates with what we're saying. Now, Dave, we see the collapse of the latest Orpheus, Lady Gaga, and then you have the retrieval of a former Orpheus, Madonna, who doesn't seem to be recognized, and so we're looking for a new Orpheus, and I always claim that Ion was the new Orpheus. So,
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
What were you saying? Wow.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, so, yeah, looking for the new Orpheus.
Yes, and what we've been describing, he said that we can tune the whole universe. Well, we have many tunings of the universe since McLuhan said that in 1979. That was January 22nd, 1979, in a Monday night seminar. And they're discussing a book on Glenn Gould, the famous Canadian classical musician and composer, with Jeffrey Paisant, the author of a book. Now, Dave, you are a studio engineer. You hear McLuhan say, you know, Jeffrey Paisant says, who would this be? A supreme artist, this Orpheus? And he says, well, it depends on what you call a studio engineer. Think of all the Zappa albums that show a hand going into a studio. Zappa understood this. So you, Dave, are a nano Orpheus. What's evoked when you hear that, what you just heard McLuhan say?
Ooh. Well, I started thinking some stuff, and then I forgot what I was thinking as I continued to listen to what he said, because he started evoking a lot of ideas. Now, who is the person that he referred to? Who is that
Ovidian.
Composer?
He's referring to Ovid, who, you know, at the time of Christ, a Greek writer.
Orpheus.
Yeah, he wrote a book called Metamorphoses, which is about all the different fables. His name is Ovid, O-V-I-D, and he says Ovidian story about Orpheus. That's one reference. Is that what you mean, Dave?
And then he talked about a guy, Barry Schafer, who wrote a book about
Murray Schafer or Barry?
Barry, I think.
Murray, a famous Canadian composer. Have you ever heard of him, Dave?
I sort of have. Now, McLuhan was interested in him. Now, he had that book, The Tuning of the World, right? That was his book, and McLuhan used that book as a probe for his own observations. Is that not right, Bob?
Yeah, Murray Schafer. I know Murray. He was a student of McLuhan in the early 50s, and he said, now this comes back to Finnegan's Wake, he says that McLuhan would take his English class and put them all in a circle. So they'd be sitting in a circle, and he'd sit in the middle, almost like an oral tribe, And he held up Phineas Wake, and he said, this is not a book, it's a radio program. The book was a radio program. And Murray was fortunate enough to hear that when he was very young, and he goes on to become a very avant-garde classical composer in Canadian culture. And under the inspiration of McLuhan, he made this manifesto in the 70s called Tuning the Sky. Now, this is what I refer to when I talk about Baroque, Orphic Baroque spirals on my tiny note chart. This is what I'm referring to.
Oh, wow.
And the Secret Council 10 was a tuner on the ESP, or the invisible level, underneath language. So when the word makes the market, that's the White House, that is for rearview mirror consumption by the chemical body, and the real tuning is being done by the nonverbal media, which is...
Which would be what?
The industry Dave works in.
Right, so music tuning the world. Okay.
That's the closest, music is the closest to tactility. Because tactility is not a sense, it's an interplay. What I was describing you in those quotes, you can't figure out what sense they're referring to. And that's getting close to tactility. So you're describing emptiness almost. And music has the greatest lack of resistance in manifesting non-materiality.
Well, it's like if you're around music and you don't want to hear it and you plug your ears, you can still feel it.
Yes. Yeah, when it's amplified, you know, when it's amplified. I don't know if they could do that in a classical orchestra of 200 years ago.
It's a nice enhancement when you think of, you talk about the American space, the kinetic space of the automobile and the Hollywood cinema image being like a global archetype. What the hell were we just talking about?
Exactly.
There was some pattern. I just blanked. I was really late. I was just about to complete my sentences. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, it's something about tuning the world, and
that's the crisis. America's kinetic archetype doesn't hold the ball together anymore.
Thanks, Bobby. That's what I was going to say. How about this? People love hearing music in their car, and you're talking about you can feel the music, and you add tactility, and then you've got the kinetic space in the car. The car is a great environment to have the music, the rock music pumping. Those are two environments that are happily joining together.
Oh, yeah. God, it's so much so that the car becomes just like a speaker. It mm-hmm. vibrates as it goes down. Mm-hmm. We have a caller, darling. So 1 second. He's on your side, Dave. 1 second. Hi, caller. Welcome to KPFK.
Hey, it's Bob 2012.
Oh, Bob, it's Bob 2012?
Yeah, listen, you know who he is, Evan, the new music girl is Lady Minaj.
Well, this is Michael Shields, I bet.
You bet right, Bob.
I bought a new CD,
Pink Friday, Roman Reloaded. She's just...
Michael Shields is correct. He's seeing that I have a new image for 2012. He's calling me the Bob 2012 model with my Ed McMahon, Dave Zufelt, and Evan Ray.
It's the Bob 2012 model presenting.
Well, it's the kind of stuff you like, Michael. What would you add to this?
Has anybody seen Lady Minaj? I mean, she got started with nipple flips on morning television.
What did you say? I muffled. What did you say, Evan?
Her new CD has sold 2 million copies. I mean, it's like double platinum.
Who's that, Madonna?
The one who flipped the bird on with Madonna the Grammys.
Oh, she's a... Oh, that... Yeah, come on. She's that Indian... who's that, Dave?
Yeah.
Who's that,
Dave? M.I.A.?
Yeah, M.I.A.
M.I.A., I know her. I went and saw her in Toronto back in 2007. Is she back? Is she on the scene? Is that what we're mm-hmm. talking about, M.I.A.?
Well, no, she was on with...
Madonna.
Nikki was on with M.I.A. They're all friends. Nikki, M-I-N-A-G, is the rap artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
and
she's doing...
That's how fast Lady Gaga is gone. You know, Madonna was... She was just, you know, showcasing Minaj.
Right, and she flipped the bird to Madonna.
M-I-N-G,
yeah, well, it was...
none of you guys have ever heard of her. It's incredible.
No, they know. They know M.I.A. and Nicki Minaj, and they were there for the Super Bowl halftime when Madonna was hoiking up herself as Cleopatra. Oh, my God, she really has quite the little image of herself.
Yeah, Nicki had a terrible show.
She's in the Universal Tour.
Okay, one at a time, darlings.
Yeah, she knows she's a universal tuner. You know, don't hold that against her. She was for a while. She even made my tiny note chart.
Yeah, she did. Oh, my God. If she knew that, forget about
it. Yes, if she knew that. But Neufeld, add something, Neufeld.
You know, Bob, there's a concept you've been talking about. There's a word for it. It reminds me of autopoiesis. It means self-closure, self-creation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like communication only communication. You know, it's just
advertising. Yeah.
So there's this thing about
Did Neufeld disappear, Evan?
No, Neufeld's here. He's here.
Yeah, no, I just worried about Madonna. She wants to be famous forever, and it's like she knows people her age they're not really interested in albums. So she's thinking, well, maybe young people are still are. I'm not really interested in them, but I know they like going to the clubs and doing ecstasy and stuff. I'll sing about that.
Exactly.
But you know what? The flip point always comes violently and like a rupture. I mean, you go along, and all of a sudden it's over. You know, that's where the flip point, the reversibility happens at the least expected time.
But the thing is that she's only in that position. Look, I mean, she's gone again. There always has to be some kind of crisis, tragedy, whatever, to get back into that news cycle. And, you know, I really feel sorry, especially for film. I think film, you know, somebody works on a movie for like 10 years, and they only get a weekend for somebody to see it.
Yeah, and then when they say, what'd you think of it? They go, it was great. Yeah.
What was it about?
I don't know, but I loved it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
Good
That's
work.
All the artists.
I hope you do well.
All the artists are making for nobody. That's if you want to really get into your art, realize there's no audience for it, and then just eat the hell out of it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. That's very interesting. Very interesting,
like Evan,
guys.
There's no reason for Evan to do this show. There's no public purpose for it, but Evan does it because she wants to do it. She likes doing it. And
it's fun.
It's fun, and you celebrate the greatness of you, and you're awesome.
No, I celebrate just the little communal rant that we get to do. I mean, probably tonight people are like, what the heck is this show about, blah, 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 you guys.
Yeah,
I don't understand a thing.
I'm never going to listen to Evan
again. Yeah, I don't know what the hell Bob and Dave, what are these guys talking about? And that's...
What's Evan letting them on for?
Exactly. And that is the great thing, because you guys are just so full of it, and people have
so
to
full of it.
And you just have to figure out the tasty little concoction that you guys are bringing, and that's what it is, you know. They got to hear something new besides the damnation, and you're too late, and the noose is around your neck, you know.
It's been there a long time, hasn't it?
I know. And
yeah, Evan, these guys are also never dying. We will never die.
Right.
You know that.
You don't have to.
Yeah. You don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to. And I'm really quite.
Well, explain more.
Well, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. It is an ism, Dave. It's an ism. I will not die.
Yeah.
I will be always here, and if Evan dies, I will take over her show. And I'll do another Evan. I got Evan started in Mesquite, Nevada in August 99. I'm the one who inspired her.
Oh, well, Bob, I was actually already doing the show.
Oh,
but
yes.
No. But I was very, very excited, you know. To have on this gentleman that talked about the D cell and that he was 150 years old and he was running around in a Hawaiian print shirt and knickers.
Right.
It was great.
Have you ever, Evan, if I can ask this on air, have you ever had any breakthrough health advice from Carolyn or Bob? I'm just curious.
Evan's got the RNA. She just did a testimonial for the website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the RNAs. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about it? Or?
Well, you know what? It's It was, well, we're talking about the RNA drops, darling, which I was able to have as a premium for some of our lovely genies that pledge their support to KPFK. So that is really great and coming out to folks. And what I would say about it is that it is the strangest, most amazing elixir out there. You just don't, it's like, you know, make sure you're quite ready and clear with intention and the thoughts of your health, because you get what you ask for. And
really, and
I think that it's something to, you know, something to experience. You can go to Raydrops, R-E-Y-D-R-O-P-S .com and see more about it.
Yeah, it's the only substance in the world that tastes differently to everybody.
Yes.
But it's interesting what you said about you better make sure what you're going to, if you take these drugs, your experience is going to be what your mind is going to program. So if you have a bad expectation of the outcome or something, that could potentially resonate that even further.
I just think it's like acid. You really got to be on the, you really got to, you know, come on.
Well,
if it's put. It's getting there.
In other words, if you do it, it might be intense. So don't, it's not even, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, something.
Don't go on
something,
a bad trip, or else if you are going to go on a bad trip, then probably don't take it that day.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You're taking it for health, prosperity, and completeness, and you just have that, and you'll get it. Whatever that's what I think, Dave. What do you think?
I haven't tried it yet, but it's funny you say that because I've been procrastinating, and Bob every few weeks reminds me, "Hey, Dave, you should get the RNA drop." I'm like, "Oh, thank you for reminding me." Yes. And I finally did it, and I'm waiting for it to come in the mail, but it was about a week ago I ordered it.
Nice.
So, it's coming.
Okay, well, good. You'll have to come back. You guys will have to come back on, and maybe one night we'll all bring RNA, and we'll have some RNA drops, and we'll all talk and see what comes out.
I think that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Now, Evan, how much time we got left?
We're done.
Okay, well, it was fantastic being here, and I wanted to show you what it's like to talk to Dave Neufeld. He's a great camaraderie of mental gesture.
Oh, my God, yeah. Dave, it's really great to make your virtual acquaintance, and really fun. We'll do this again for sure, and everybody will be like, no, but I'm like, yes.
I've heard probably about 5 or 6 of your shows over the years, and I've always loved them, and I think you're great. I adore you. You're great.
Oh, you're too sweet. Oh, wow. You guys. Okay, you're definitely coming back.
Too. He's told me that many times.
Well, that's not even half kissing.
Yeah,
I actually mean it.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. You guys made my night. It's really great. Always fantastic, Bob. So glad that you have time to come back and you bring friends with you like Dave and everything. So, you know what? Thank you guys so much for hanging out late, and we'll delve more. And it is the 100-year anniversary of McLuhan, you know, celebrations through 2011 and 12. So it's really great to get into this, and I hope people sit there and read McLuhan and go to 5body.com and understand that when I bring Bob back, it's for a reason, and it's a very deep, profound, freaking amazing reason. And so don't just schlub it off.
Yeah, so that's right. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys have a great morning.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
See you later,
Dave. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys. Bob and Dave have left the building, and you're like, "What up?" Well, you know what? I mean that. Everything that we've been talking about very much applies to the zaniness and craziness that we experience in trying to change, in trying not to go down this predicted road of us being slaves, of us dying, of us, you know, of all the nastiness that's projected, the apocalypse. None of that stuff has to happen. It doesn't have to happen. So quit thinking and talking about it happening. Quit thinking and talking about your desperate situation and your powerlessness and all this crap. Just drop it now and start listening to ION. Start reading about Bob and all of that. Start looking at McLuhan and understand the media, understand your mind, and get a hold of it And let's start doing something different here. All right, darlings. Well, my goodness, we are past and going into this second hour, but I have to make a formal transition. This is KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and 99.5 Ridgecrest, China Lake. Stay tuned for the second hour of Project Next on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, streaming worldwide at kpfk.org.